Now, here's a school we've referred to on a number of occasions on this programme, and sadly, it's often been for negative reasons because of disputes and debates in and around the school in recent times. But we've also had reason to praise them because they've excelled on the football field. But residents in West Belfast, they're slamming a decision by the Education Department to give just over £1.5 million to De La Salle College for what they describe as a controversial pitch development. Now, De La Salle has been in and out of the headlines for a long time with issues around staffing and school performance coming to the fore. I want to speak to Marion Keenan, who's on this line. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning, Frank.
Are you a neighbour of the school?
I am a neighbour of the school, yes.
You're an unhappy neighbour?
I am.
Yes, explain why.
Well, Frank, in our area here, just outside my door, we have a lovely open green pitch, for want of a better description, which is widely used by the whole community. And it's the only open green left in this Greater Andersonstown area. And the school has decided that they would like this pitch for a football pitch. They intend to fence it off, build a pavilion and essentially close it off for the residents of this community.
Obviously they have a right to the land.
Well, it was passed at City Council, but we believe that this is a flawed decision. We also believe that the Education Department's decision to grant £1.6 million to the school for this, the construction of this pitch, is a waste of money. De La Salle is still a school in crisis. There are bigger issues that they need to address, and it is alienating the residents here, because we don't want that. We want this pitch to be enjoyed, this open green space, for everyone in the community.
And do you feel the money should be spent on something different? What would you spend the money on?
Well, we believe that, the Education Department's Derek Baker has warned of a funding crisis. We believe that this is a school in decline. Now, that's not something that we wish to see for the school. We wish the school to be turned around, but we believe that there are bigger issues to be addressed. And we think that high-performing schools are being asked to make devastating cuts at this time. Who could probably benefit from this money? Or De La Salle could perhaps benefit from this money in a different aspect and leave our open green alone.
Yeah, Marion, one of the points we should emphasise that this is what's called capital funding. So
yes,
the money that's earmarked for this particular football pitch couldn't be spent, for example, in the classroom. It couldn't be spent on employing additional teachers. They simply can't do that. They say the capital funding earmarked for this project is built into the Department of Education's budget for the financial year. It is worth noting that this capital funding could not simply be used, even if the department so wished, for other education-related issues normally funded from the education resource budgets. That's the running costs budgets. That's one of the points they make. And they also make another relevant point, which is the pupils of that school have to travel to, I think it's St Genevieve's, to use football pitches properly, that they are in short supply, the facilities at the school. They have a reputation as having a darn good football team, so should they not be seen to be developing the skills that they already have and be allowed to have their own pitch?
Yes, and we recognise their achievements, their sporting achievements. And St Genevieve's is the sister school of De La Salle, so they do cross over, not just for sporting subjects, but also for other subjects. You know, they're about 500 yards away from each other. It's not a big distance that they have to travel. But De La Salle also has access to other 3G pitches in this area. We have an abundance of 3G pitches in this area. Another two in local GAA clubs, not 500 yards from the school, which aren't used during term time or during the daytime. And these are facilities that the school can access. But they have decided, and we do recognise that there is a deficit for them, but they redeveloped this site in 2008. They shared the site with St Genevieve School. They could have had the option of going across to the site where St Genevieve's is located, but they chose to stay where they were and build a school. Now, they could have incorporated a pitch in the school at that time and built a school around it, but they chose not to do that. So this is an issue of their own making. Also, they have told us that there is a deficit of 5 pitches. If they take our open green space, that only delivers 2 small pitches for them, so they still have a deficit. You know, it doesn't answer all of their problems, and it annihilates the community around them, which is something that I think De La Salle really should consider more at this time, given their current difficulties in other areas.
Well, there certainly seems to be a public relations problem between the school and the locality, because we've touched on this many times before. The Glasmullen Open Green, I think that's what it's called, and the Friends of Glasmullen's now formed. Are you not overstating the importance of that green space? There's a possibility that there's a bit of bad blood between the community and the school, and this is being used as a whipping post for the school authorities or the education authority.
No, Frank, we're not in the business of whipping the school. We want the school to succeed. Of course we do. The school is a community asset. But the Open Green is also a community asset, and there is huge evidence to support the benefits of open green space in a community. Not only the health benefits, but also for the mental well-being of the community. You know, if this green space is lost to the community now, with the school taking it over, it's lost to us forever. And it is the only open green space in this densely populated residential area. So I don't think that we can underestimate the impact of losing this would have in this community.
Are you in a position where you can get it overturned, or is that too late?
Well, I don't think it's too late for anything yet. I mean, we're still fighting to preserve the open green space. We have always been open to discussion with the school. The school hasn't reciprocated that. We have been, taken the last year, since last September when we met them. We were promised that we would meet on a regular basis, that we would meet within a month's time. And despite numerous contact with the school through email and text, they never replied to us. It wasn't until the beginning of July this year that the school called a meeting. And actually, it wasn't a meeting, because the definition of a meeting is where parties meet and discuss issues. We went to that meeting, and actually we were just told that this is what's going to happen, no matter about what the community's concerns are. So, you know, the school hasn't done anything to enhance the communication or build relationships with the community. In fact, it's the school's fault that the relationships are declining. And we don't want to see that continue. Of course, we want to have a good relationship with the school, because not only do we need the school, but the school also needs us.
Okay, Marianne, I'm going to leave it there, because there are other people who want to speak about it as well, and we'll try and get the opinion of the school on the programme if they want to come on. A spokesperson for the Department of Education says, like most urban post-primary schools, De La Salle College in Belfast is restricted in terms of land available for sports facilities, and pupils at the school currently, as I mentioned, have to travel to St Genevieve's High School. It is relatively close, but they still have to travel to another facility. The proposal for a new sports pitch at Glasmullen Gardens is not just to provide much needed sports facilities for pupils at the school. The plan is that the pitch will also be available as a facility for the local community, out of our schools, groups and so on. In processing the application, the planning service gave due consideration to the loss of open space. The planning service considered that the proposed development will not result in a loss of existing open space, but will fulfil a strategic function catering for recreational need in the area and promoting health and well-being. And we also pointed out that the capital funding, the 1.6 million, couldn't be spent on something different. It couldn't, for example, be spent on employing extra teachers. Catherine has a point. I think she's in the area too. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. I say my family home faces the Glasmullen Green. We've lived there from 1955. I'm also now a retired teacher in the local area, and my last post was responsibility for PE. So I have a fair idea what I'm talking about. La Salle knew when they relocated to that site that they couldn't have pitches. Why did they do that?
So you reckon they're now taking this land to make it a pitch when they should have known that it's not appropriate for a pitch to be there?
Yes. It's been a green, as I say, we moved into the state in 1955. It's where I grew up. It's my childhood field. We don't even call it the green. We call it the field. It is the, as Marion said, it is the only open green space left in the area. There are plenty of 3G pitches. St. Genevieve's, as I say, is a five-minute walk from LaSalle. It won't do the boys any harm to walk over to St. Genevieve's to play their football.
So is the community going to continue to lobby to try and get this overturned?
Yes. I don't think there's one house in the local area hasn't got saved glass mullein green notice in their window.
Okay, so it is a growing protest. Catherine, thank you. I'll talk to some more of you about this and hopefully to the school as well to see why it's so important to have that 3G pitch after the news.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.
I see Jennifer asking, is the glass mullein green that we're talking about Silver City? And anyone who's old enough will remember Silver City in Andersonstown. It was a big army base and it must have been, because I see Mark says, Frank, that green space was once Silver City. I often stoned it on the way home. Great memories. Only Mark could say that, but I presume, yes, that's where we're talking about. Margaret's got a point. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Margaret. You're another resident in the area?
I am. I've lived here for 62 years. We took great pride in that green growing up. That was our last building when we were growing up. It was used by everybody in the area.
Was it Silver City Army Base?
Yes, it was. That's just the point I was going to make. We were fenced in the late 70s by the British Army. We had no choice. We had to put up with fencing for years until they eventually left. Left it in a complete mess. It took years to get it back to the green that it now is. And I know what it was like being fenced in. And at my age, I do not want to see that again.
Yeah, but the school's not going to be like the Royal Fusiliers.
Well, there's still going to be floodlights, there's still going to be fencing, and we should be entitled to have the green that we've always been used to and always used. And I'm not happy about why LaSalle School did not pick St. Genevieve's then as their school, where there were plenty of sports facilities ground there for them. They should have thought of all this planning when they were building that new school. Why should just one street of residents have to put up with fencing that we don't want? I definitely don't want. I do not want floodlights at night, and I don't want cars parking from one end to the other.
Okay. There's a lot of opinion on this. Margaret, I'll listen to some more people in just a moment. Thank you. Got to say hello to Steve, who's on line four. Morning, Steve.
Hiya, Frank. Morning. How's things, mate?
All good. What's on your mind, Steve? De La Salle?
It's about that De La Salle land grabbing that bit of a field there in Andersonstown.
Yeah, you call it a land grab, but obviously the area, the ground they're going to build the football pitch on must belong to them. So to call it a land grab suggests that they took it.
No, it doesn't belong to them.
It obviously technically now does belong to them if they're getting permission to build a football pitch on it.
No, the Education and Library Board acquired that land off the housing executive who owned that ground. That's who owned the ground, Frank. They've got a lease on that ground. So technically it is a land grab, Frank, because they're going to use it for a money-making facility.
Yes, they're going to. You could easily argue that they're going to use it as a community facility, an educational facility, and a facility that will benefit all and sundry.
No, Frank. Frank, you haven't really studied the plans of the thing right then.
Well, I haven't studied the plans at all. I'm simply listening to the two sides of the argument, and the community, the local people, would like the green grass to be as it is, and the school and the education, the Department of Education, would like to provide a 3G pitch facility which is fully enclosed with floodlights that could be used for the benefit of the school children and also for community groups and football teams and so on.
Yes, if you pay, Frank. If you pay.
Yeah, but of course, if you pay.
Well, I mean, we've seen the things that has happened.
But Steve, just on if you pay, first of all, at the minute, it's a green space. Obviously, yeah. There's nothing else there apart from grass and the ability to go out and walk about in it and kick a ball about. But
playground, Frank's on it as well.
Okay, and the children's playground. But if they turn it into a state-of-the-art facility, well, then surely it's worth paying for, is it not?
No, I don't think so, Frank. I mean, that's an open green space. It's been there. When we moved into Anderson's Town, there was two farms in that field. And it's remained a green field, except for the time that last caller said about the Silver City been there. But the school actually went ahead with all those plants and never consulted the local community, Frank. Frank, in 2007, they went to Jim Rogers and asked to acquire that field then, back then. And he said no, because the council took a thing and said, no, there wasn't enough green space in the local area. And now, all of a sudden, there is enough green space in the local area. That's in minutes of the council meeting.
I have to say, I do feel you've a strong argument. Those who are against any more 3G pitches have a strong argument. There is a wealth of 3G pitches in West and South Belfast. There are so many 3G pitches that you see the floodlights of them light up the community every night. And I understand people not wanting floodlights out the front of their house 4 or 5 nights a week. I understand the argument from the perspective of the residents. But at the same time, you could argue one is taking away green space. At the same time, it's providing a health and well-being facility for everyone who wants to use it.
Yeah, but Frank, at the minute, local clubs do use that to train on. Children go out and play on it. It's safe for the children because they can play out in the middle of it there and it's safe for them. You know, I can leave my grandkids there and watch them from the side of the road and they're quite happy and content playing about in that field.
And the downside will be it will be locked, it'll be gated, in. Yeah, fenced in, yeah.
Exactly, Frank. And it'll be 7 days a week, Frank. Not a couple of days a week. It's 7 days and 7 nights a week. That'll be opened. At the moment, we have a lot of problems in the morning and the afternoon when the schools are getting out. But we live with that there because, I mean, we invited the school into that area. We don't mind them, but we're not going to get any respite at all now because it's going to be 7 days a week. Once the school's closed and that development will be open, the school don't want to have anything to do with it.
I see where you're coming from as a resident.
Frank, you understand?
Yeah, I do see where you're coming from.
We offered LaSalle an alternative for the school just to use it, and they wouldn't accept that.
It's understandable. It is. It's understandable that a community will not want yet another very well presented, well maintained, but locked facility when they've got a green space that their children can play on at any time, morning, noon or night, summertime, and all of that. I clearly see the argument from a perspective of your street. What is the nearest street to it called?
The nearest street would be, well, there's Glasmullen.
Yeah, the Glasmullen.
There's Sleigh Canyon Drive, or there's Sleigh Bond Drive, and Glen Sheehan. They have those four streets around it.
Yeah, I can't, if I was living in any of those streets, I don't think I'd want it myself. I have to admit that. And my goodness me, going by the calls we're getting this morning, I can't get anyone to support the initiative at all. Every text, every call is saying that the Glasmullen Green should be retained. The old Silver City area where the base used to be, it should be the green space it now is. That a lot of people reminding us that when the army left it, it looked appalling. And it's now a fine green space that you're very proud of, and you don't want this school's facility, this sporting facility, built on it. And to be honest, I can see where you're coming from. Stevie, thanks for the call. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, Frank.
Not a bother. Not a bother. Some of you are saying it sounds like as if it's not in my backyard. Yeah, there is an element. There is an element of that, of course. But you understand people. They don't want it. They're entitled to express their opinion. Robbie's got a point. Morning, Robbie.
Morning.
Are you going to say that it's a good idea, Robbie?
It is a good idea because if they hadn't got it, they'd be crying out for a lack of facilities. The council's doing nothing for us.
Yeah, but you obviously don't live in the area, Robbie.
I live in East Belfast.
And you think this is a good idea?
Yes, because we were sitting there for hours to play. Okay, we've got the lesser centre. It's a G pitch and all. the local school, Ashley Boys School, they let their pitch out. But I'm saying, if they hadn't got it, they'd be good about lack of facilities in there. I mean, they had these made letters sent and they wrecked it.
Yeah, but which would you rather have, Robbie? Which would you rather have if you were a parent? Would you rather have a large green field that all kids can run through and skip in and play football on and go to a children's park? Or would you rather have a fully fenced off, state-of-the-art 3G green, super green surface that you book through council or book through the school, and your five-a-side teams and your camogie teams and your local teams all go there on a rota and practice? Would you rather have the general open space or a fabulous enclosed locked facility?
Locked facility, because at the end of the day, it does benefit the community in the long run. See, with them boys out there training and all, so all play for the Republic of Ireland or Northern Ireland. See, I remember that we lived playing at facility or the cell all developed. It's all about sport development. No, kids have to have somewhere to go. But the better the facilities, the better the player, you used to say.
Okay, yeah, that's the other side of the point. You know, the other side of the argument is that it's going to be an excellent facility for teams training, for individuals developing skills, and there'll be lots of people who will queue up to use it. That's the plus side. The minus side is, if you live in the area, you've got another floodlit, enclosed, super 3G pitch. Cars pulling up, team buses coming, being used most nights of the week. And you have to forego the green space that your children play on. And they don't only play on it at 4 o'clock in the evening when they come home from school. They play on it all summer long. They run about through it. You see, you can easily understand what some people are losing. And then you see, of course, what maybe in inverted commas the wider community is gaining. No wonder there's an argument about it. I wouldn't want a blimmin' fully floodlit sports facility down my street, would you? Right, good morning. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Whatever's on your mind, we're always happy to hear from you here on the Frank Mitchell phone-in. I'm going to say hello to Tina, to Teresa, to Brenda, to Jennifer, to Karen, and to Elaine as well. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Brenda, Patricia, Patrick and Ian are getting a mention also, because they wanted a shout before 11:30.